I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gut instinct. We've all got it, but how many of us actually listen to it?
In this episode, we're going to talk about why you should trust your gut.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's B-Sides, a show where we share material that doesn't quite fit in with our weekly interview series. Here on B-Sides, we focus on empowering musicians and all creatives to craft careers by arming you with the tools you need to make it in the entertainment industry. So if you're new here, consider subscribing.
Yeah, we are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcy Novelli from Canada. When I'm not releasing music or doing this show, I'm producing records or vlogging as the Crazy Vegan.
Before we jump into this episode, we just want to let you know that we are on Patreon and you can become a Bridger for as little as $1 per month. You'll gain access to our exclusive Encore series, which features never-before-seen videos with our guests, and your support will allow us to keep bringing you weekly videos here at Bridge the Atlantic.
You can also head over to our website to pick up one of our shirts. They look great on you, I swear. Use the coupon code BTARocks to receive 20% off your order, and we promise you're going to look awesome. Simple as that.
Yep, and that is an absolute promise. So, in this episode of B-Sides, we are going to be talking about something that comes up quite a lot, both in our show and in general conversations between the two of us.
Yeah, that's our good old friend, our gut, and how we need to trust it.
It's it's something that comes up between ourselves and also with our guests. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all had experiences where we haven't trusted our gut, and when, you know, and also times that we have, and we can both agree that it's a pretty common theme.
Yeah, I mean, we seem to find that when we don't trust our gut, we make a decision that doesn't really work out or go to plan. However, when we do trust our gut, we're much happier as a result, whether it's because we took an opportunity or turned it down. And I mean, that doesn't mean everything always works out when you trust your gut, but at least you can know that you listened to your instinct, whether or not it works out. It's kind of like parallel to when people say, just be yourself. You know what I mean? Because if people don't like you, at least you were yourself. You know what I mean? But if you were trying to be someone else and people don't like you, then you're going to sit back and think, oh, maybe I should have acted this way or that way. You know, so it for me, it's kind of takes out the guesswork. Just follow that gut feeling. And whether or not it works out, at least, you know, I was true to myself.
Yeah. And we need a gut counter in the corner, by the way.
How many times we say gut?
Yeah, exactly. So I think, we're going to share a few examples of times that we've followed our gut feeling and times that we haven't followed our gut feeling. So hopefully you can learn from the mistakes and the successes as well that we've experienced as a result.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, without getting too specific, I know I've had situations where the gut feelings were strong, you know, and I listened to my head and reasoned with it, you know, like basically I had a feeling, but oh, no, push that feeling down because, you know, it makes sense to not listen to that feeling in my head at the time. You know what I mean? Cognitively, it made sense. And, it was the quote unquote right thing to do. I mean, I've worked with people in the past because of their successes or roster. And even though they're great people and masters of their craft, they weren't particularly right for me. And a part of me knew that right from the beginning. You know what I mean? Whether it was, you know, before I even reached out or before we contacted, got in touch or throughout the process, anything. They were, they call it red flags. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's not so much red flags because I think that's a bit more in your face. I mean, sometimes it's just a feeling you get. You know what I mean? And I mean, you can look at this in so many different ways. You can look at this psychologically, spiritually, whatever it is, we all have it, you know? And I just know that there's been situations where on paper, it made sense, but a part of me knew that it just wasn't right. And of course, when I didn't listen to that every single time, you know, it's like, why didn't I just follow my gut instinct? Why didn't I? Because you don't know sometimes until afterwards. You know what I mean? So, you know, we get tricked by our minds, I think, because we have this feeling. We don't want to listen to it. But then afterwards, we're like, I should have listened to my gut feeling. Should have listened to that myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all we can do is start to learn what that feeling is and, you know, whatever it means to you, and start listening to it before we regret it, even if it doesn't quite make sense to us cognitively in that moment.
Yeah. And I think you, when you made those decisions to work with those people, you were probably swayed by the names that they'd worked with. Because that's something that I think happens a lot, and, you know, happens to everyone, I think. And I think really it is just a case of recognizing that feeling and what it's telling you. And yeah, really weighing it all up and paying more attention to it.
Well, I mean, that can even apply to signing a record deal, because, oh, it's this record label that has this band on there, and that might be perfect for that band. But, you know, if there's something you're feeling that this doesn't click for me, listen to that, because, you know, before you really regret it.
Even if you feel like it should be the right thing, if your gut is telling you that it's not the right thing, you can't ignore that. You know, you definitely have to take that into consideration.
As a music web designer, you know, if you had any situations that I think can apply to everyone?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a few. Like a few times when someone's come to me about a project and I've said yes, even though really I didn't want to do it. And, you know, to give a more specific example, but without going into detail, there was a project recently which was not really the kind of thing I normally work on, much more technically complicated than I would normally agree to. But I said yes to it, even though that gut feeling was kind of like, oh no, this is probably not right for you. But I just thought I could figure it out. So I took the project on. It actually ended up becoming even more complicated than I thought it was going to be. And time just went on and on. And, you know, it has actually come to the point where we've come to an agreement very amicably. I'm no longer working on the project and, you know, the client's been refunded. But it's kind of a situation I didn't really expect to find myself in. And it's definitely not a situation I want to find myself in again. So I'm definitely going to be paying much more attention to that gut feeling when it comes to a new project. And if I feel like it's not the right one, then I'm not going to be committing to something that I'm not going to be able to do.
I want to kind of pick your brain a little bit on this though. Like, what, you know, maybe to help me understand it and to help everyone tuning into this understand a bit more, and maybe to help us all kind of catch this beforehand, what was kind of going through your mind when you first said yes to this project? Or maybe even beforehand, you said you had a gut feeling about it, you know?
Yeah.
What was it that made you ignore that gut feeling? Is it because it just looked right on paper? One of those things?
I think, like, for me, a lot of the time when I take on a project, I kind of think about what it could lead to. And I was just thinking, oh, this could lead to, you know, it kind of would open up my network a little bit to this client's connections, you know, obviously if things go well.
Sure.
Which they didn't. But
no matter what, still had an underlying feeling that...
So the feeling was just that the description of the project, while it sounded interesting, was definitely much more technologically advanced than I was comfortable with. And I think in many ways, given more time, probably could have done it. But, you know, as time was going on, I realized, you know, the deadlines are drawing closer and closer. And I think it was just, there were definitely a lot of signs early on, I guess, like the client wouldn't always go into an awful lot of detail about specifics. So I would ask some specific questions to try and figure out ways to do things. But the answers that I would get were just vague. So there was a lot of guesswork involved. And I think at that point, I probably should have said, I'm going to need more specific information, or I'm not going to be able to do this. But I still just felt like, no, we can work through this. We can.
Do you think ego ever gets into play here? I think sometimes for me, I think it's ego, like, oh, I can do this. Or, you know, I'm not going to, if I say no to this, that means I can't do that. I don't want to admit I can't do something. You know, do you think that there is a part of yourself that, you know, I mean, we all have an ego, you know what I mean? It depends on whether or not it's inflated. And, you know, did you have a moment, you think, where it was, you didn't want to admit, I don't want to say defeat, but you didn't want to admit that this just wasn't right for you?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But I sort of think that when I took it on, I was interested in the challenge. Like, I thought, it'll be good to take on something that's a little bit different from what I normally do, learn some stuff that I wouldn't learn otherwise. And I have learned a few things that I wouldn't have learned otherwise, whether or not I'm going to use them again, who knows.
Well, did it affect your self-esteem at all, or your confidence in yourself to have to say that?
You know, I thought it would, but it didn't really.
That's like, amazing.
I just, I did think it would. I thought I would be really upset and angry with myself, but mm-hmm. ultimately when we came to the decision to stop working together, it was more a relief.
Which says something.
For me not having to work on it anymore because mm-hmm. it was really stressing me out. Mm-hmm. But also for the client, because now they are, you know, they're free to work with someone else who's maybe more suited to the project. And that's totally fine. Like, that's absolutely fine.
And just to give some insight, I mean, Ross is an amazing music web designer. He does some amazing work. This is nothing to say about your ability, but this really was a project that needed a team. You know what I mean? This needed like 10 plus people working on it. You know what I mean? So you were being very ambitious with it. And I think this really relates to me and other artists out there, you know, trying to do everything ourselves. What would you do differently now being presented a project that you just don't feel quite right about? Even in the situation when you don't know why you don't feel quite right about it, and you're like, oh, should I?
I mean, that is, it's always really tough to kind of turn anything down, I think. But in general, I am trying to get better at saying no. And I think that experience has taught me what I'm good at and what I'm not so good at. And like I said, I don't want to find myself in that situation again. So, you know, I think even though it does suck to say no and turn someone away, I have to remember that I'm not really letting them down by saying that, because, you know, if it's not the right fit, it's not the right fit. So it can be the better thing to do sometimes.
You know, it's tough too, because, you know, money is a factor. You know, we all do need to get paid and make money. But, you know, you have to balance, you know, what is important to you and money. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense, maybe I'm not explaining this quite right. But, you know, if you have another means to get money through something that you enjoy more, even within your own career, like you, as a music web designer, you know, is there another client maybe you're more interested in? You're going to be more excited about it. You're still going to make money either way, you know, doing what you love, but it's going to be a more enjoyable experience. And of course, you know, that is a privilege. We don't always get to have that, you know. So mm-hmm. I guess maybe could you touch quickly on, you know, what about in the situation where you have limited work and you have to take on work? How do you deal with that?
I think that's probably a little different, because if you're kind of needing the work, then you've probably got more time available to learn the stuff that you might need to learn.
Right, fair enough.
I think for me, with this particular project, was I took this on at a time when I was already busy. Mm-hmm. And that probably also should have rung a bit of an alarm bell, but for whatever reason, it either did and I ignored it, or it didn't ring an alarm bell, which I need to check my alarm system in my head or something. I think that that's maybe slightly different. But at the same time, if you still feel like that project's not suitable for you, it probably still is better to say no.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I heard this piece of advice a while ago, and it's always been in my head. I think it was for entrepreneurs in general, and it's basically say yes to everything and figure out how to do it after. I probably took that too literally. After trying that and learning the hard way, I think it may be better to say no to things that you don't want to do or don't feel that you can do to the best of your ability.
It's just the tough thing, because it's like, where do you find that balance between what you need to do and what you really want to do? You know,
it's yes with that statement mm-hmm. to an extent. I think it's say yes within reason.
Yeah, I think don't let your anxieties hold you back. I think don't let your mind hold you back, your insecurities. I totally relate to that. I think if we can focus on that aspect, like, you know, your self-doubt, you know, that's very different. That's thoughts. That's right here. Oh, I don't know if I'm good enough, or I don't. Those are the little voice in your head that, you know, is that we've all got, but that is completely different. So I think say yes, absolutely. When the only thing at stake is your own self-doubt, you know, a lack of confidence or self-esteem, those things I think you need to push through, you know, to do. I think that starting this show, starting Bridge to Atlantic and branching out to, you know, not just interviews, but B-sides and Musician's Minute and all these different things that we're doing, you know, I think there is always doubt there. You know what I mean? There's always doubt when you're doing something different, you know, but we just say, yes, let's just do it, you know, because we don't have any bad gut feelings. In fact, we have a great gut feeling about it. You know what I mean? We feel like because we're following something we want to do. So, I mean, how could that be wrong at the end of the day if we're enjoying what we're doing? You know what I mean? But, you know, it's having said that, it's also sometimes difficult to distinguish between your head and your heart, you know, both of which can be misleading. But, you know, at the end of the day, what you feel in your gut is almost always right, or at least right for you. And really, isn't that all that matters?
It's the most important thing. Yeah,
absolutely. So before we wrap up, I think that we should flip this whole thing a little bit and maybe at least share a story where we did follow our gut instinct and everything went right to, you know, end this on a bit of a positive note, maybe.
Cool. Well, luckily, I do have one of those.
Okay.
So this dates back to 2011, 2012.
Okay.
So Tara Naomi, past guest on the show, good friend of mine now. She tweeted that she was looking for an intern in LA to help her out with some digital marketing. I'm not in LA. I'm as far from LA as you can get. But I had this gut instinct that I was like, no, I need to jump on this opportunity. I need to contact her and work with her. So I tweeted her pretty much word for word was, hey, I'm in the wrong location, but I'm exactly who you're looking for. Can we work together? Not, which is completely out of character for me, particularly at that time. And she tweeted back saying, yes, absolutely, let's talk. And as a result, you know, I end up working with her. She's introduced me to a lot of great clients. Essentially, she's one of the main reasons I've been able to run, you know, do music web design as of a career for the last 5 years. So that was really just throwing all caution to the wind, saying, I want to do this. And that's my story. I followed my gut and it worked out.
I love that. And you know what? And I have many positive gut feeling stories from over the years, but I know I'll just wrap this up and tie this in with saying doing this show with you was a gut feeling I had. And it wasn't even a question. I just woke up one day, you know, we didn't even know each other that well at the time, but we were friendly, you know, and I just knew I needed to do this with you, you know, and I just presented it to you, not even much thinking, it wasn't even much thought. It was just,
it was a Skype message saying, we need to do a podcast.
And I believe you replied saying, okay. And the rest is history. And within a month, we had a website, we had a name, we had our logos, we had everything. And I think
we had 20 interviews recorded.
20 interviews within a couple of months. Yeah, we launched with 20 in the bag, you know. It just felt right. And even though there's been, you know, highs and lows, definitely highs and lows over the last 3+ years, you know, 3.5 years now, I think, pretty much now. You know, I wouldn't trade it in for anything because it's been fantastic. And for me, it really was a lesson of listening and following that gut feeling and sometimes not giving you a chance for your brain to start doubting that, you know, I had a positive gut feeling. I think if I sat back and thought about it, no, you know, I should probably focus on
music. If we
thought
about how much rock was actually going to be.
Yeah. Well, part of it, we didn't know, but also just thinking if we actually thought about, you know, we have these things to focus. You know, but I'm glad we didn't let our brains go there. You know, I'm glad we just had that gut feeling and went for it. And the rest is ongoing history.
Yeah, that's great. So for more from us, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit our website and pick up one of these shirts. Not the specific one, but one of these while you're there.
Absolutely. And as a musician, I'm actually working on my second full-length solo album. You can pre-order it at marcionavelli.com/pre-order. Who would have thought? And, you know, you can find my music everywhere. If you check me out on Spotify, iTunes, or just about anywhere you like to listen or stream music, I am there. I do want you to come say hi to me, though. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's all my name, Marcionavelli. So say hi. We'll get to know each other. And, yeah. I want to get to know you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you guys by 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, as well as Music Entrepreneur HQ and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out because they do what, Ross?
They keep the show alive.
You've had better.
I have. And if you would like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. We have recently updated the rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of interviews, as well as an opportunity for you to co-host an episode. We do have a new Encore series, which is exclusive on Patreon too. So not going to tell you too much more about that. You're just going to have to head on over and
I have
see
to
what
tell them
about
it. Basically,
go on.
I've got to just tell you that I can't tell you much about it. It's kind of like Fight Club. We can't really talk about it, but it is an exclusive show only for our patrons. About 10-minute episodes that focus on a specific topic that you need to check out. Trust me.
Marcy, you've already said too much.
I did.
You've already said too much.
Okay. Wrap it up.
Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and iTunes mm-hmm. so you don't miss any episodes. Leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
Yeah. We do like chatting with you guys, and we're always responding back to comments. So do leave us some love. And of course, like, subscribe, and share. Spread the love. I think that's it for B-Sides today. We'll be back next week with a brand new interview.
Yeah, and make sure to catch our new B-Sides episodes on the last Tuesday of every month.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.